Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your presence amongst the bride at this hour. Having come, Lord, to show forth your glory, to seal away a bride, to give revelation concerning yourself and the mysteries concerning the Word, to separate a people, Lord, by that same Word and by the life of that Spirit that's in our midst to give immortality, even to bring forth resurrection, Lord, positively manifested, we know that's for this hour. We pray, Lord, bless us in our study, Lord, as we strive to know the things that the prophet is saying concerning what we believe you gave him by vindication, which is for us, Lord. Even as he said, his gift was not for himself. He could not use it for himself. Neither could this there be for himself, except only in the measure that as Moses ate the same manna that people did, so the prophet must also adhere to the same, making us all one lump, which is very marvelous and fantastic in our eyes, that that should be so concerning us. Therefore, help us, Lord, to really appreciate what was given us as a spiritual food in due season. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now we're into number 16, and the spoken word is original seed. And as in every message Brother Branham preached, especially in his last few years, which would be from perhaps 58 to 65, he firmly tells us that if we are seed, we will agree with every word. That, of course, is also the evidence of the baptism with the Holy Ghost, and you understand how he brought that on the order that if you say you're born again, full of the Holy Spirit, how could you turn down one word that the Holy Spirit gave these vindicated authors, the prophets of the Bible? He gives us a telling illustration in that as Jesus could only bear and manifest what he was as the seed and could in no wise fail to do so. In other words, that was his destiny. He could no longer stop from doing it than he could from anything. There was no way that Christ could not do what he did because of who and what he was. So then, as this is so, that he as the seed could only manifest what he was as that seed and couldn't no wise fail to do so, we can't help but receive and witness to the Word because we are a part of it also. Now this is the dividing and the separating. And of course, we are prone not to want to go along with that, unless you're bride. Unless you're indelibly bride, seed, there's no way that you can accept this. This spiritual food in due season is for none other than the wise virgins. Even the foolish virgin cannot take it because they have no word for the life of this word. Now, the true seed is not a hypocrite or a dual, as Brother Branham said, because there is nothing he defers to but the Word. It is always the Word and nothing but the Word. Seed and Word are one and are not hybrids. And this brings me to call to your attention the fact that we still have at this late hour those who want to judge the Word by the Spirit instead of the Spirit by the Word. Let me assure you, brother, sister, if you're in that place tonight, where you still want to go by works and feelings and what you feel is right and what is nice and what is good, let me tell you something. You're not born again. I mean, hey, I haven't got time to fool with you. You're not born again. You're not. Because your feelings and your ideas don't have anything to do with the Word of Almighty God. You don't have a thing coming. You, in your soul, you have the right to make a decision. That's all you've got. You don't even have the Word there. You've got a place for the Word. And as Brother Branham said, that a man taking a woman, even a harlot, makes an imprint on his bosom and nothing else fits there. There's nothing but the Word will satisfy you. That's all. And you'll die for it. Why do you think Jesus got crucified? Why, some of you want the kind old priest. You don't want that renegade called Jesus. Now, come on, be honest with me. Some people aren't honest. They're hypocrites. They're duals. They're hybrids. Now, if you think I'm hurting you, maybe you need to get hurt. You know, it's time to look what this word is the criterion. That's all. Look, seed and word are one and of the same source. Now look, let me just show you something here. I read it at least 100 times, and this may be going on to my 300th time, I don't know. He says here, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Suffering of death. That's why he was made lower than the angels, just for one reason. And we're lower than the angels. We're in the category also of suffering, trials, temptations, filling up the sufferings of Christ. And if you don't want to fill up the sufferings of Christ by taking up the cross, you're none of his. So don't think you can smooth everything over nice, nice, nice. You can't around me because I can pin you right down. I know what you are. See, I've been through it and I'm going through it. So you can't call my bluff. There's no point in trying to do it because you simply can't do it. You're going to lie about me. It's going to get you nowhere because I'll face you. Now listen. For the suffering of death, crowned with honor and glory because he suffered, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every son. Now notice, this one here was allowed grace from God, and it was the grace of God that allowed him to taste death for you and me. It was a privilege for Jesus to die. It was a privilege for Jesus to die. Well, I think what it was, great mistake was made. Terrible things happened. My, he had to come and die. Well, he didn't want to die, no, no. My sins and yours forced him to die. And I read the Bible that way. Everything is true that we may croak about, but the actual fact is that Jesus counted it a privilege to die. And so did Peter. You mind me roaring at you? I had to let you know that Peter followed Jesus. He was one of the seed. And so did Paul. And if you can't suffer, you want things so nicey-nicey that you'll deliberately cover up sin. I'm not interested at all. When women and men under the Catholic persecution of the reform that came from Zwingli, Huss, Luther, those great men of God, the Catholics sewed them up in leather bags with snakes and threw them in the water. They loved to rip up women with children and throw them to the hogs. And they died with glory written all over them. And we can't even stand up in this age for this marvelous, vindicated word, and we sit here like a bunch of cream puffs. Amen. What is anybody here actually suffering? Oh, no. Are you a bunch of whimpering little kids that got to blame your parents because they looked at you in a bad manner or they whapped you a little bit? You can't take it when the chips are down. But you'll take lying, stealing, cheating, everything else. Oh, just gloss it over. I'll get to judgment later. You're going to hear some things. You're going to hear the same things I've always preached. You'll hear it in depth tonight. And if I should leave this platform and die, you don't need one more message, because every message is always the same. There isn't any other. The present judge is here. And if you have another message, it's foreign to my, I can tell you that. It's foreign to William Branham's. Now listen. He says here, for him, it became him. This was his adornment. This was becoming to him. This was natural to him. And without him having this laid on him, he'd have been a failure. It became him from whom are all things, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings, for both he that sanctifieth, and they who are sanctified are all of one source. They've got one Father, they're one seed, they're one life. Different manifestations according to the need of God and his purpose in the hour of when each one is called forth, till the last one is called forth and presented. Every single son from the same source, he's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto God. Now there is your picture. There is what we are looking at. We are a part of him. We are all a part of God. He's the only begotten son, and we are the rest of them. And they've been coming forth for 6,000 years, and this is what boggles my mind. Why only 6,000 years? Don't ask me, ask God. I can't answer your question. I'd be a fool to try to get the answer. I'd be casting aspersions upon my Lord to even ask him. I just wonder, and I pass it by. Seed and word are one, not hybrid. Since Jesus was God's word, he could produce nothing but God. If we are God's seed, how can we do other than to recognize and respond to God's word and show our oneness by our faith? Because remember, Brother Branham preached on the invisible union, who is coming to him. Word upon word coming together. And in the invisible union, you see the divorce, because they haven't come, because they're not word. See? Then on page 26, the last paragraph, Brother Branham starts to speak of the prophets to whom the word of the Lord comes, and they are gods to the people. This is the link to our hour, wherein we know the truth that establishes our seed relationship to God. What am I talking about? The vindicated prophet bringing us the revelation, and we receiving it, because first of all, we recognize the prophet, and we recognize who is being set forth because we're seed. We recognize the revelatory word of God in and through the prophet. And the sheep recognize and follow no other voice, thus fulfilling, as Brother Branham said a few paragraphs ago, my sheep, other sheep, the Gentile sheep of Matthew 4 and Matthew 12. Know my voice, and they follow me. And they shall never perish, but they'll put on immortality. Now, let's go to 26 and look at that last paragraph. Didn't Jesus say of the prophets to whom the word of God came? Who did the word of God come to? Prophets. Didn't Jesus call them gods? Why? God was manifested in them. Brother Branham said, the prophet is the living word of God manifested or come to pass, come to light. Why? God was manifested in them, first of all, to them. What was it? The spoken word manifested. Why? Because the prophet speaketh. See, that's it. Said, how can you deny... If you have any wisdom, you'd understand. He said, God himself called them gods. what he's trying to say here is that if God himself in the Psalms called them gods, why does anybody want to change it? Now notice, God himself called them gods. That's the prophet. And said, how can you then say you believe the prophets and deny me when I say I'm a son of God? Why didn't they see this? Now, that's the question there. Why didn't they see this? What was the trouble? All right. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. So we can begin to look these things in the eye. And bring up what I want to show you here. The Pharisees also, now the point is here, how come they didn't get this? How come they didn't pick it up? What was the trouble that they didn't see this? At the time of Jesus, when he was very plainly not only a prophet, but he was that prophet of whom Moses spake. Then the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him he should show him them a sign from heaven. He answered and said, when it's evening you say it'll be fair weather for the sky is red. In the morning is foul weather for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, you hypocrites! You double-souled, double-minded, double people. You can quote the scripture like Ernie Ford and Pat Boone sing the songs of Zion. And you're dead in your infidelities, and your songs are a mockery. You talk about God on one hand, live like the devil on the other for the devil, then sing these lovely songs. You hypocrites. You duals, you hybrids. See? Fool's gold, phony. You can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. The wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. There should be no sign given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. He left them and departed. Now, listen to me. If he was not categorically the sign, what people came to him and said, we can't accept this. We know it's good. We know it's great. All these good works you stone, we stone you not. But we're looking for another sign. And when it comes, we'll know it. Who amongst you have made statements like that? And you bear with them? No, I'm not out to take anybody's head off his shoulders. You do what you want, but you just cut your own throats. Nobody's going to cut my throat on an asinine statement like that. Because anything that follows the real, brother, sister, is a counterfeit. Even though God himself allows it and gives them the power and the authority to do it, it is nothing but a trap. Oh, you can find your Balaams. But it's funny, these birds aren't even going to find a Balaam. They're going to find the Antichrist. Because the next thing is incarnation. Oh, yeah. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And then Jesus said, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. What is the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? What is the leaven? Well, bless God, if this ain't the real thing, I'm really conditioned now to know when it comes. Oh yeah, Brother Branham's real, but he ain't the real McCoy. Oh yeah, Lee Dale's a man of God, but I loathe him, and you watch, there'll be somebody coming along that's really got it. Maybe I am a hypocrite, but how do you know? You don't know because I recognize the sign. There it is. There it is. There it is. There it is. I defer to it. I know nothing else. I look for nothing else. And if it comes, you look back to hell where it came from. Now, can I get your big loud amen?
Amen.
Thank you. That shows that you're not Sadducees and Pharisees, you're not leaven. But I can't read your hearts. But I believe your amen speaks for you. And they reason among themselves, saying, is it because we've taken no bread? When Jesus perceived, he said, oh, you of little faith. Oh, you of little faith. Merciful God. You've been talking about Messiah. You've been praying for Messiah. You've been looking for Messiah. And now that he's here. And this is it. Oh, God. Faith. Bread. What's the issue? Is this or is not Messiah which was to come? Is this or is not the Spirit? In Ephesians 1:17, who is this one? Is not this he? 1 Thessalonians 4:16, then who is he? Oh, you of little faith. With his presence, with his proof, you still go back and forth. When Brother Branham said you could by now hide you this word bitterly and yet love each other as brethren because you're trying to settle an issue of the soul. Yeah. They reasoned among themselves. They reasoned among themselves. Do you not understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves or the 5,000 of any baskets you took up. Neither the 7 loaves or of the 4,000 of any baskets you took up. See, twice he did it. Twice the wonderful feeding, once under Paul, once under William Branham. How is it you don't understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, but that you should beware of the leaven, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees? Then understood they how he bade them not beware of leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. One group had a wait-and-see attitude, and the other didn't believe at all. Make believers and unbelievers right in your midst. Heretics. Hereticals. Heretical doctrine, heretics that are rejected. Sit and eat, have fellowship at your own risk. It's strictly unbiblical. Do what you want. I write hurt on nobody, especially from this point on. Now, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, now watch, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? These guys couldn't discern what we're looking at and discerning. Brother Branham said, when God went down to Egypt with Moses, he did not only appear in signs and wonders, but he himself also appeared in a pillar of fire upon Mount Sinai. I saw it today, and we have his picture. Pharisees couldn't take it. The disciples that should have been able to couldn't get it. So Jesus comes now and says, listen, you heard the Pharisees, you heard the Sadducees, you heard all of this, you saw the vindication, now I'm going to put you to the test. You're so misled as to who is here and what is here. You're talking about bread and biscuits and donuts and hamburger and God knows what. You don't even know what leaven is. Can't understand that. So I said, listen, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? I said, these guys are all messed up. What about you? Well, some said you're John the Baptist, because he was killed. That means he believes in reincarnation. Well, not really. It just means that you got another John the Baptist spirit. A man like John. Some say Elijah, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Now, where in the world did they get anything about Isaiah and Jeremiah? There's nothing in Scripture at all about that. And I don't mean reincarnation. I'm talking simply about the spirit. Where does the spirit of Jeremiah come in? Where does it come in of Isaiah? There's only one place, that's Elijah. Now, they're really messing this up. Or one of the prophets. Now, they're getting pretty cute here. Well, you could be this, you could be that, you could be that, but we really don't. What? It's something. One of the prophets. Exactly. Which one? And nobody caught it that he's speaking of the one that Moses spoke of. Which one? Oh, they're right on the beam right now. One of the prophets, you bet your sweet life, he sure was. Oh, we know you're a prophet sent from God. Oh, we know you're a prophet. Oh, yeah, we know Billy's man the prophet. We're looking for something else. Oh, in a case. Well, really not, just in case. He's smarting this up, we know. Huh? So, but whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, now he's the one guy that becomes authoritative. He said, and he knew what the other 12 didn't know, 11 didn't know. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are that prophet of whom Moses spoke. Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And if you don't know that that is the Christ, you don't know that that is the one, let me tell you, this you will never know. Oh, yeah. You wondered why I put up the shenanigans so long in this church, and some of you are still beeping and bellyaching. I did it unilaterally. I can close you out in my mind, every one of you, blank you out tonight, because this is on telephone and it goes on tapes. And I'm not here to hurt anybody because I love you. But I'm not here to take your guff either. And your infidelity to God, if you've got it amongst us tonight. I don't know what you are tonight. I'm not going to try to figure it out. But I'm telling you where I'm coming from. This is my testimony, my witness. What yours is, you've got to tell me. I can't read your hearts. Although I come pretty close because I watch your faces, I watch your attitudes, and I'd say we're about 95% at least. I'd say you're 95. You say, what about the other 5%? Well, I just have to guess a little bit. Because some can sit right there and grin. And they're like Jack Bell's mule eating buckberries. I don't know. I'm giving you my testimony, my witness. If this isn't it, forget it. See, Brother Dale, don't say that. I'm supposed to say that. What are you trying to tell me? You say something different. Amen. Do you want to take my soul on your hands, my blood in your soul? It sure wouldn't do me any good for anybody to put my my soul on your blood. Your blood's no better than mine. In fact, it might not be as good. Mine only tested two. I only got calcium missing and a bit of phosphorus. My blood's perfect. But those two things caused me trouble. Have you had a blood test recently? Kind of quiet, eh? Kind of makes you think, doesn't it? What good's your blood? What good's your blood to me, mine to yours? How would you put your soul on my soul and my soul on your soul? Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonas, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it, but my Father which is in heaven. Now the rest did not have the revelation. Now watch the acuteness of this.
These people lived with him. They ate with him. They slept with him. They fished with him. They saw all manner of things. Paul did not see him, only by vision and revelation, and he had the perfect revelation above even Peter. Because Peter had to bow his head and say, the Apostle Paul is above us all, but you better watch what he says, because that man is so deep, many of you people run with him and destroy yourselves. And Peter even boo-booed after Pentecost, but Paul didn't. He said unto Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he charged the disciples they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ, that he was actually that Messiah. He was that perfect one. Now you notice how that 5 to 20 followed 1 to 4. See? Okay, let's go to Luke 16. And we look at Luke 16:27. I beg your pardon, be Luke, yeah, 27, that's the one, just a few verses. This is where the rich man's in hell. And then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, thou wouldst send him unto my father's house, that's Lazarus. For I have five brethren, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Abraham said unto them, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Now watch that. He said, hey, if we send somebody from the dead, they will repent. And he said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Who is this one here? In the form of the Holy Spirit, the same one that rose from the dead, but in spirit form. Doing the same things he did when he was in the flesh upon the earth. Now, the point is, no matter what they see there, no matter, if they don't believe the word, they're getting nowhere. That's why they say, well, if this is not it, I'll be prepared for when the real thing comes along. Don't you see how the scripture fits perfectly back there 2,000 years ago and today? There is no way it can be done. See? Now, notice verse. Well, be great. We read for 31. Now, let's go to John 5. And in John 5, Jesus is talking. There's a feast of the Jews. And, of course, there's a pool there, five porches, impotent people waiting. An impotent man wants to be made whole. There's no one to put him in the water when the angel troubles it. Somebody steps ahead of him. And Jesus said, well, take up your bed and walk. You're okay. The man took it up. And as he walked, the same day was the Sabbath. And the Jews said, hey, it's a Sabbath day. You can't carry your bed. He said, well, the one that made me whole, he said, take up your bed and walk. And they did it. Oh, they got angry. Then they say, just a minute. What man told you to take up your bed and walk? Never mind the fact he was crippled 40 years, just laying there waiting to die. Oh, that's nothing. Forget it. Forget it. Why, this guy here should not have ever told him to take up his bed and walk. He's a false prophet. He's a liar. There's something wrong with him. But he was vindicated. That ignoramus, that little bird from Bethlehem and from Nazareth, he outshone them all. One moved his little finger, fulfilled ages of scripture, and they stood right there in their Pharisaical robes. Well, you know, we'd really know if he really was.
But I'll tell you, when the real one comes along, if this ain't it, we'll know. That's the man that visited your house, Gary. Oh, yeah, you don't want to have names called, do you? You don't want the thing put the finger pointing anymore, do you? Nice guy, brother. I'm not a nice guy, because there could be real sheep here, and I believe there are, and I'm watching out for you.
Amen.
And the shepherd doesn't mind slapping the wolf and calling to attention these things that are so wrong. So you're going to preach people out of the church. I ain't preaching nobody else. This is the word of God. You do what you want about it. I told you last Sunday I'm a survivor.
Amen.
The way I felt today, I'm sure I wasn't going to survive, but before I got here, I knew it would. I knew it would. Yeah, no, I knew I would. No problem at all. See, I'm ready for all this stuff. Oh, yeah. Oh, they got angry. They said, who in the world is he? And Jesus conveyed himself away. Then he finds a man. And he said, listen, you're made whole. Now don't sin anymore, lest the worst thing come upon you. And the man departed and told the Jews it was Jesus made him whole. And so the Jews wanted to slay Jesus because of these things on the Sabbath day. Never mind the truth, never mind reality, never mind vindication, never mind the hard spots. When it comes to your understanding and your creeds and dogmas, just kill the guy that did it. But you don't kill him for what he did. You kill him for what he said. For good work we stone you not. Jesus said, my Father worketh hitherto and I work. He said, he's the one that set the pattern, I'm following along. The Jews therefore sought the more to kill him, because he not only broke on the Sabbath, but also said God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Now there's something even that people don't understand in this message. They think I preach two gods. If you're the Son of God, you're equal. That is the covenant. The only begotten firstborn owns 50%. Makes himself equal. Then Jesus said, truly I say unto you, the Son can do nothing himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatsoever he doeth, what things soever he doeth, these also do the Son. Likewise, the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. Now he's telling you that he's operating by vision, not by former knowledge, in his pre-existence, in his theophonic form, when he was Gabriel and whoever else he was. Don't ask me. Whatever form he had. For as God raises up the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Now just watch that carefully. He's committed judgment. Oh, hey, answer me. Who goody goody did? Now, I got it. God is over here, hallelujah. And Jesus over here, hallelujah. And I want to tell you something now. If the Father gets mad at me, I got the Son over here. You missed it.
That's right.
He can only do what he hears and what he sees from the Father.
Amen.
If you're stuck here with the Father, you're stuck with the Son. There's no difference. Oh, come on. So when he says, all judgment committed unto me, the Father doesn't judge any man, but he's left the commission unto me. What's he talking about? The Son putting into execution exactly the mind of the Father. That's why Brother Branham said the Son couldn't do anything but God would do. He had to manifest God. There's nothing else he could do. Because he could only do what he heard and do what he saw. Do you think for 1 minute that there is any such thing as the Son of God or God himself in any form whatsoever can act apart from what God was in the very beginning? Who cannot have one more thought or one more purpose or one more plan? I'm talking about omniscience now. Come on, don't falter over a little thing like this. Don't falter, just put it together. Now, that all should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father which has sent him. Truly, truly said to you, he that hears my word, believes, and then has sent me, hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation or judgment, that hath in death and life. Truly, truly said to you, the hour is coming, and now is the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live, the Father of life in himself, so he hath given the Son of life in himself. And give him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not this, for the hour is coming in which the
on in the graves would hear his voice and shall come forth, and he had done good in the resurrection of life, and he had done even the resurrection of damnation or judgment. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. There you are. You don't have anything separate. There's no two people running things. There's only one person running things. That's God. And he echoes and brings everything to Christ as a person. That's why he's the actual image and the essentiality of Almighty God, even though he be a son. But he's not God the Son. He's the Son of God, and sons have beginnings, even though the substance, the Spirit, which is substance, the life form, the life source, is from the very beginning, from no beginning, pardon me. No beginning, had no beginning. I can to myself do nothing. I can't judge, I can do nothing. And he says, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of my Father sent me. Then listen, if we have his will at this hour and the judgment this hour, this is what God said. This is it. All we needed, according to what Brother Branham said here, was William Branham telling you and me exactly what that pillar of fire told him. That's it. That's it. That's it. Judgment's over. Now you do what you want about it. I've explained this dozens and dozens of times. But tonight you're hearing it more clearly. If you never hear it again, you don't need to hear it again. You don't need to hear me preach again. You can bust up and go to your homes and play tape. Do what you want. As long as you stay with this understanding I've been giving you all along. See? It's time you're all teachers anyway. But not some of the stuff I've heard around here. She become C. Two gods. You talk about something that's unfit for consumption. If I bear witness to myself, my witness is not true. There is another bear witness of me, and I know the witness which he witnesses of me is true. What's that? That's a vindication by God. You said unto John, and he bear witness unto the truth. He said, I'm not that one, but there is the one. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. John was a bright and shining light, and you're willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I've got a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do and bear witness in me, that the Father has sent me. Yet Jesus did not do all the works on earth at that time he was commissioned to do. Yeah. Absolutely. Everybody knows that. You can't read your Bible and not know that. Brother Branham said it. And the Father himself had just sent me, had borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time or seen his shape, and ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he has sent, you believe not. Remember, whomsoever I see, he that received whomsoever I sent receiveth me, and he that received me receives the Father. All right. Notice now, here we're coming to it. Search the Scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another come in his own name, him you will receive. Tells you. That's future. They're going to do it yet. They'll take the Antichrist. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another? And seek not the honor that comes from God only. Now, what's he talking about? What's he talking about? Well, hold your finger right there, and let's go plumb over here and see it. Because the Bible can never change, and it never lies. In 2 Thessalonians, first chapter, 7th verse, and you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty messengers. Notice the 10th verse. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and be admired in all and admired in all them that believe, because our testimony was believed in that day. That's what you're looking at right here. That's the only glory there is. And how do you get it? By believing the prophet. Oh, people don't want to believe the prophet. Oh, no, no. Oh, no, no. You know, you make too much of William Branham. Ha! That's the laugh of the century. The only honor that can come from God is over here in 2 Thessalonians when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. Now, how are you going to get it? There's no other way except by the gospel. We'll talk about that later. Now, do you not think I will accuse you to the Father? Do not think I'll accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you hope. For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Now remember, a vindicated prophet only could go back like Brother Branham, the same as Moses could go back, the only historian. All right, I hope you catch what you're looking at. Now, after this, we're going to go over here and read this last paragraph again. The prophets are called gods. God himself called them gods and said, how can you then say you believe the prophets and deny me when I am the Son of God? How can you believe the Bible, because that's written by the prophets, and you can't believe me, of whom the entire scripture is written, by whom and for whom everything is made? How come you can't recognize me? As Jesus said, the oxen know his master's crib, and the birds know their nest, but how come Israel doesn't know me? Where's the slack? What's happened? So Brother Branham said, God himself called them gods, the prophets, and said, how can you say you believe the prophets and deny me when I say I'm the Son of God? Why didn't they see this then? Same thing today. No different. No different. Same thing today, or now at this moment, right here in this building going on. Brother Branham was preaching to the Jeffersonville Tabernacle. Notice what he says. I'm that seed that was to come, the woman seed. Now they don't recognize today. Now, is he trying to tell the Gentiles they don't recognize that Christ was the seed of the woman? All Gentile faith in Christianity is based upon that. But, of course, erroneously, they make him God the Son. And he's even Adam Clark said, he said, how in the world can you make it God the Son? That's ridiculous. It's the Son of God. And God the Son and the Son of God are two different things because one is the Son of and the other is it. You can't make it that way. Sons have beginnings. He recognized that. Even I recognized serpent seed, but couldn't put it in his place. I am that seed that was to come, the woman's seed. I'll give you a seed to the serpent. In other words, he's talking about what the serpent did, and he's even going to give the serpent the seed. And the serpent had already defiled her. And he said, but thy seed that I shall give you shall bruise his head. He'll take that thing back again. Amen. He'll take that thing back again. What's he going to take back again? He's going to take back to the original what the woman messed up by hybridizing. He's going to take it back where life comes through the true seed that she turned down by hybridizing. Now you say, Brother Bell, she's going to do it anyway. God knew it. Hey, I'm not at all unhappy with that. I understand that. We're just trying to show you spoken words, original seed. She caused the interruption. But she couldn't flatten everything as though it couldn't take place. She just interrupted it. The car got four flat tires on the road. But pretty soon the tires will be all pumped up and it'll go sailing in. Don't worry. I'll give you a seat. Thy seed shall bruise his head. He'll take that thing back again. What will take the thing back again? The seed will take the thing back again. Amen. I wish everybody could see that. I've come to conquer and correct what he did. Now, he said, I'm going to correct everything that the serpent did and what his seed's going to do and continue to do until it's all over. And this seed is the one that you're going to see is going to be in full authority yet. And I want you to notice something. That it's by the seed of the woman, 2,000 years later, beg your pardon, 4,000 years later, and finally 2,000 years later again, and finally 1,000 more years later again. Now what's that add up to? 4,000, 2,000, and 1,007? That's right. The earth is going to be populated all over. And what with? The seed. Everyone and his children. For it shall, the seed shall be counted for a generation. See, he was cut off. He didn't do what man did. So now he is that seed that was said to Eve, you populate this earth because you're the one that brings forth the children. Adam doesn't populate the earth. He's the beginner. What if the seed goes some other direction? Something happens. Without her, it's not going to continue. So he said, all right, now, you blew it. Now, what about the end time? Remember, Brother Branham said God gave him a second bride and she blew it, but the third one won't do it. Well, just keep that in mind. Now we're going along. Now, I've come to conquer and correct what he did. And the only way I can do it is through a woman that believed the seed, where a woman that didn't believe the seed. Now, why? Because that's the Bible. Everybody says, well, now God's going to do it, you know, just 1, 2, 3, 4, got it all figured out. And it's not true. It's this way he does it. It's still got to come through a woman. You can never have the earth populated. And the serpent seed and all that stuff gone. You can never have the original. What's in the original word? Until it comes by original word, without hybridization or anything added or taken from it, man becomes 1,000,000%, infinite percent, with the word of God. It comes by a woman. One woman believed the word where one didn't believe it. Now he says, I am that overcomer. That's the seed. I am the one that's come to give life through my death, to pay the penalty for what she did. Through my life will be given to flow over you, and you'll be sons and of God and daughters of God, see, as long as there's seed in there. Now, it can't be given to those that aren't seed. Now, remember Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word, and she brought him forth. That's fine. But that didn't do the job. There's got to be a sacrifice. And this was the privileged one. I come to do thy will, O God. Come right down anxious. Happy to take our place. No matter what you say. This is what he wanted. This was his destiny. Everybody's carping and critical today. I'm not fulfilling my life. I'm not fulfilling my destiny. Well, get with the word of God and things will begin to happen to you. That's the whole trouble. For your trouble and my trouble. Now, let's take a look at this. What is to happen today? He'll take it back again. Man was not meant to die. No, he wasn't. He was not meant to die. Because the original spoken word over here is Genesis 1:26-27. God said, let's make man in image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth. Everything creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created male and female created them. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, every living thing that breathes, and so on. But they didn't. Why? Because they hybridized the word. And the word must still come to pass. So now how is he going to do it? How's it going to come? Well, I'm going to tell you how it's going to come. It's going to come by Revelation 10:1-7. Revelation 22, 10-14, I saw another mighty messenger come down heaven, clothed with a cloud, rainbows upon his head. There's only one got that. That's God himself on the throne. Face as it were the sun, feet as pillars of fire, and his hand of the book open. So on, right down to the... You read this so many times, you don't need to read it again. Now let's go to Revelation 22. Revelation 10 and 4, the book is sealed up. The book is opened in Revelation 22 and 10. And he said, seal not the sayings of the prophesied book, for the time is at hand. There you are. The book is unsealed. Revelation 10, 1 to 7 unseals it. Now here's what's happening. He that is unjust still. Filthy, filthy still. Righteous, righteous still. Holy, holy still. And watch now. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give unto every man according as his work shall be. Okay? Now there you are. That's absolutely 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 7 to 10. You can't get away from it. You got the truth, you got the parallels there. Judgment on one hand, blessing and cursing. You can't deny it. Now watch, I'm Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, the first and last. That takes you right back to the book of Genesis. There he is. Now what's in Genesis? Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter into the city. So what are you looking at? You're looking exactly what Brother Branham said. He said, he'll take back that thing again. He's going to take it under his control. What is his control? The government of God upon earth, where in the garden was the tree of life for immortality and the keeping of peace. And now notice what it does. It takes you now from there right to the holy city, where the tree of life is transplanted from the Garden of Eden, the millennium, right to the New Jerusalem where we stand with him. He's going to take it all back. And how's it being done? It's being done by God himself. As Brother Branham said, when his son and daughter sinned in the Garden of Eden, he never sent an archangel, a cherubim, or an angel. He himself came down, so today. What you're looking at is this, through his death and resurrection and his restoration of the bride tree in this hour. There is a bride that's going to come forth in this hour who will not be impregnated by a creed or a dogma. The womb of her mind is already sewed up. So this is all she's going to receive. Now let me ask you a question. If you're looking for something else or thinking you're going to get something smart enough for this, from this, to make you get something else, is your mind now closed? Is the womb of your mind now pregnant? The answer is no. You just got snake bit, honey, that's all. You got snake bit. You got taken by a filthy demonic spirit, a hoary spirit of organization and unbelief. Yep, it's a cancer. It's a cancer, but Brother Bale, you must never talk about it, never come against it. Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. You got to be just sweet and nice. You take a shotgun to kill somebody, get near your daughter, your son, but it's okay to lose your soul in somebody else. Is that what we're looking at tonight? I thought it's pretty good for a man to lose his body in the grave, but it's pretty dangerous to lose your body and soul in hell, because that's where it can go. And that's where it will go. Because, you see, this is live, die, sink, or swim. Now, if you're not that way, I'm sorry for you. And if you think I'm trying to give you a mindset, you're goofy. I'm trying to get you an eternal soul set. So we'll have rejoicing at the end of the trail. Now listen, the seed of Matthew 12 is here, with himself watering the little seeds. Not breaking the reed, quenching the flax, or by striving, but by himself sending forth judgment unto victory. Himself fulfilling his word in the bride, because she knows no satanic or man-made creeds. Notice, in Matthew 12, 19, he shall not strive. What does this mean? This means he will not debate or be at variance. He's not coming to debate. cry. That means to shriek or to make a great clamor, like these rioters. You know, these so-called pacifists. Peaceful means to make the government right. They're very pacifistic. They have these marches. They want to argue. Then you start screeching and everything else. Now, I'm not trying to convince. Three, his voice is not heard in the streets. Now, every one of these three, not strive, not debate, not heard, every one of these three, plus not bruising and not quenching, is something he is not doing. No, he's not striving. He's not debating. He's not shrieking. He's not in the streets. He's not breaking the bruised reed. He's not quenching the smoking flax. And therefore, and thereby, he is not attracting any great attention to what his mission really is. So we're not engaged in politics. 100, 1 million more in 54. And just wait 6 months now, we'll have double the people here. Oh, yeah, we'll have... Hey, if we got double the people here in 6 months, you better believe I'll be gone before 25% more adds itself to this church, or God's got to speak to my heart. Because the stronger the hour got before the flood came, there was just that many more people that turned their backs, which is fine by me. I'm not here for anybody's sake. I'm here for the Word. Now listen, all of these things he is not doing. He's not in politics. Now, notice what comes out of this. Now watch carefully. This is what comes out of it. And this is the Weiss translation I like. Which is to have caused the equitable administration of justice to move straight on to its intended goal, resulting in a victory. You know something? I'm going to tell you something. In the light of what he is not doing, you're going to have to stand back and look if there's something to look at. And you can be guilty of either second guessing or guessing right, or just maybe you'll get a revelation from somebody that knows. Because this tells you, you don't know, because he ain't doing. He isn't doing what he did back there. And yet what he is not doing, but being here, and sure enough he's doing something, you better believe it. It says it's causing the equitable administration of justice to move straight on to its intended goal, resulting in a victory. And in his name will the Gentiles hopefully trust. All right. What is Brother Branham talking about? He's talking about the bruised head of the serpent going under while the wounded heel is taking the ascendancy. Because he's coming back to reign, and before he reigns, he's coming forth as a judge. Now, let's take a look at these words. What does administration mean? The word administration means the management of government. The management of government. He is here in Matthew 12 for the management of his government. The kingdom of God is in our midst again. Eden will be set up because it was original headquarters. He's here to do it. Let's look at it. We go to Isaiah. Chapter 9. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as it was under vexation. When at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. Now, let's look at that. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as it was in her vexation, when she started vexing. when this woman started vexing, she started to go down. Oh, yeah. And the more she went down, the more she vexed. And the more she vexed God, the more he had to deal with her. Watch what happens after this goes on and on. This talking about these Gentiles over here, the Gentile nations. The people that walked in great darkness, have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light has shined. There shall be light at the evening time. It'll neither be light nor dark, right? Okay. Thou hast multiplied the nation. And it says not increased, but you admit that. Increase the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy of harvest. 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 Whose fan is in his hand, thoroughly purge his floor and gather the wheat in the garn, or to burn up the chaff with Pentecost with unquenchable fire. And as men that rejoice when they divide the spoil, he's going to be handing out trophies and rewards and goodies. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff off of his shoulder, at the rod of his oppressor, as in the days of Midian. That's the time of the judges. What a terrible, everybody divided, everybody going his own way. Just a hodgepodge. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and the garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government's upon his shoulders. His name be called Counselor, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there should be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, order it and establish with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The jealousy. The word zeal is not zeal. That's something you think a guy's just a fanatic, and man, he's got this speed all ready to roll. It's jealousy. God's a jealous God. The jealousy of the Lord of hosts have performed. You say, just a minute now, that's written for Israel. You're wrong. It's written for the Gentiles and points you back to the seed that was born in Israel. It's written to the Gentiles. This is yours and mine. This is ours. I'll tell you why. Because the increase of his government, there's no end. And since he started now, yes, he started now. And the Spirit in our midst becomes incarnate to us. We'll crown him King of Kings. And Lord of all, it started. And it won't decrease. It's going to get bigger and bigger through the millennium, right into the New Jerusalem. You don't believe it, do you? Because it's so new. Shatters your thinking. Well, I can't see Emmaus. I just can't see the Emmaus. I just can't see. Oh, God, where's the Emmaus? Oh, God, where's the Emmaus? And now! It started. I'm a part of it.
Amen.
Yeah. I've been called to the wedding supper. Hallelujah. Putting on my garment. Yeah. Oh, bless God. If I was back in Pentecost, I'd be swinging on the chandeliers by my toenail. Hallelujah. Thank God I'm not in Pentecost. Yeah, he sent the word into Jacob and it lighted Israel. But it came right down to Samaria, right down to the people of this hour. Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes, my brother, my sister. Yes, absolutely. This is the truth. Yeah. Now, equitable. The government started and never end. Equitable. What does it mean? It's fair. Brought back to its balance and intent. The equitable management of government. Well, it was all lopsided under the devil. But now, it started to come right back. And it won't be all the way back until he's crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he comes down, and we with him eradicate the Antichrist by grabbing him, throwing him in the lake of fire, and all these guys taking over for 1,000 years. That's the start. Equitable. The original intent was what? to put the children in charge of the earth. They own it all. The sea. Controlling. We're going to do it. We've started. Now, I know we have. So, what's the next thing? It says, the act of administration of justice to move straight to its intended goal, resulting in victory. What is justice? Well, I'll tell you. It is the quality of being righteous. Justice means righteousness. Impartiality and fairness. The quality of being right. Yeah. Now, people are all screaming for, I'd sooner have mercy than justice. Not me. Already got mercy. Now want justice. Oh, yeah. Big difference. You see, if you're not in it, if you're not part of it, if you're not privy to the revelation, you'll be screaming for mercy. No. We got it. Oh, yeah. The Lamb went off the mercy seat on the Father's throne. I want justice. How long, O Lord? Souls under the altar. Justice. I want it right. Tired of being a pawn. I want that quality of being right. Now, what do I see in this? I see the parousia of the judge. I see the presence, the descent of the judge. I see it over here in 2 Thessalonians. You who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty messengers and flaming fires, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and it be not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is Paul's gospel, because he gave it to Paul, who shall be punished in everlasting destruction in the presence of the Lord, leaving root in your branch, from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and be mired in all that believe, because our testimony one was believed in that day, he's coming to be glorified in us. This is the same thing we find of the shout in 1 Corinthians 15, coming down to put his church in order. Make no exception. It is Malachi chapter 4. It is Matthew 24:28. The world gathering to feed on the Toma. Luke 17:30. The bride gathering to eat on the Soma. Listen, what is it? Let me explain it to you briefly. It's over here in Romans, the second chapter. And in verse 16, in that day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, when did that happen? Only in this hour. Only in this hour. Like it says in verse 14, for the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law. These not having the law are law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts in meanwhile accusing or excusing one another, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. There'll be people doing this and doing that, every creed, every dogma. Everybody, well, I'll forgive him. It doesn't matter if he lies, he thieves, he commits adultery. It doesn't matter if he despoils people and betrays the bride and the sheep. Oh, he's just loving and be sweet and be kind. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh, Lee Dale's a dirty dog. Oh, yeah. He's filth. Because everything doesn't go. This is what it says here. For the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature things contained in the law. These not having the law are a law unto themselves. Everybody has his own religion. We show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bring witness, and their thoughts are meanwhile accusing or excusing. They know there's something to look at, and they refuse to look, so they excuse each other. And then if you don't go along, you're a dirty crud. Yeah. Time after time, I've wondered how many people can stand with me. So if I stand alone, it's okay. Now listen. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to the word that I got from God, that he said he would do it. There's coming a time when God vindicates His own word and proves that it is His word, and men won't give a rip. Especially here. Well, but this is not enough to get the real thing. You say, Brother Bale, you're writing, and I'm going to ride a plumb to hell till you guys smarten up, or plumb to heaven one way or the other. I'm going to shame you and embarrass you if you ever thought something like that. Did you dare to let it in your mouth? But you know why? Because it came out of your heart. The secrets of men's heart made known. How? By this word of Paul. Yeah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. Because you believe my witness in this day. When men's hearts were being revealed. Yeah? I read it. Let's read it again. You can never read these things too often. Oh, yeah. See? And you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. And what's He going to do? He's going to reveal the secrets in your heart. Whether you believe or not, with the vindicated prophet John. You see? Now, with that, Hebrews. You can get a tape ready, son. If I'm not finished the next few minutes, you're ready to turn it over because I'm not going home. You got Wednesday off anyway. No, you don't. Next time. Huh? Next Wednesday's off. Okay, sit around. Stay for breakfast. All right, listen. Hebrews 4, concerning the time they should have gone in and didn't. Let us therefore fear this, the promise being left us of entering into His rest. Any of you should seem to come short of it. See? For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You say, Brother Vale, was it the gospel? It certainly was. That rock that followed them was Christ. For we which believe do enter into rest, as He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He spake in a certain place on the seventh day in this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all His works. What's He telling you? Everything was in perfect order until the interruption. We got to get back to it. We got to get back to it. Got to get back to it. And Canaan land's a bit of a tight. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remains that some must, they gotta enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. Again, He limits a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, now we're coming to it, as it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Whose voice? The voice of the same one that called the Jewish fold or the Israelic fold, said to the Gentile fold today, the sheep hear my voice, and He's knocking at the door, and He said, if any man hear my voice, and the sheep hear the voice and they follow. What voice think spoke to me when He said, inside of me, deep inside, if you listen to any man, that's the man you should listen to. Today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your hearts, for Joshua had given them rest, then he would not have afterwards spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he hath also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. In other words, it's going to be a trial of your faith. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now listen, he's talking about the entering in. And he said, watch it. You might lose it. You won't make the rapture. Cry all you want. Millions now living, never die. That's a lot of hogwash. That's the devil's lie. Brother Branham said, thee lies, thou shalt not die. Oh yeah, that's what he said. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder soul and spirit, even of joint and marrow, even as discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in sight, but all things are naked and open of the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now listen, seeing we've got a high priest, who is this Melchizedek? It's been all laid out here, and you can get your eyes on the truth and walk into Canaan land paradise of God, the millennium, or you can stay outside. It's all been revealed. There has been nobody that who could hide from the prophet. Nobody could hide from God. You couldn't hide if you tried to read. You're just like a book. Your thoughts and intents laid out. And let me tell you, when I preach this gospel, I am no less than Brother Branham, and neither is any other fivefold minister who preaches it correctly. There isn't one thing in your soul that's not laid bare from this word of God. Do you stand with it or don't you? There is only one thing in your soul, brother, sister, and that's a decision. Which way are you going? Which way are you going? Oh, yeah, which way are you going? I don't know. Yep. The word of God's quick and powerful, sharper than any sword. Now, it is even more so than the quickness and sharpness. This is Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, as revealed in Genesis 18 and in verse 23. Let's look at it. Genesis 18 and in 23. And it says here, and Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Now there you are. Do the saints go through the tribulation? In no way. There's your answer. Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and spare not the place for 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee, O God. Shalt not the judge of all the earth do right? Shall not the judge do the righteous thing? That's why, right today, the righteous are righteous, the filthy are filthy. We started on our journey. Okay. We can read it all the way down. We won't do it. But notice, verse 33, and the Lord went his way, and as soon as he left communion with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. And let me tell you something. When the shout is over, I can tell you one thing. The dead are going to be raised. That spirit's going to take off and be incarnated, and we'll follow him. See? Now, it is even more so what we read here. Hebrews 13 and 8 is revealed in Genesis 18, 23, especially 25. Going to 32 and then on to 33. When the spirit that's in our midst becomes incarnate to us, we'll go to our place also. To the wedding supper and crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, we go to paragraph 2 of the page. We're written. We still got some time? Amen? 3. Okay. I can finish right here. Now, if I'm going to get you back on track on Saturday, not. But I don't even have to be here Saturday or any other message. You might not know this, but I could be dead tomorrow morning. You don't need any preacher here. Although I hope you get one. If you can't follow what I'm trying to show you here, word by word, and where you really stand, it's not that you know every single mystery. You know everything as though you got all the answers. But you're standing with this which is vindicated, and you're not looking down the road. You're looking at this. Now, you do what you want. I never invited anybody in this church to come and follow me. When I walked out some time back over there in Quincy, you people, the majority of you came to me, and you come back to me also. I want you to get this flat. I don't ask you to stay. I don't ask you to go. I don't ask anything of you. All I'm here is to preach this which was vindicated. 20th century prophet. 20th century word of Almighty God. You are 100% in your own. And if I talk rough to you or I talk rough about situations, just remember one thing. I've only got one thing in mind, and that is to lay it with this word, because Lee Dale himself is nothing, nothing, nothing less than nothing. So I'm not trying to tell you follow me or have any thoughts of mine. All I want you to know is this. If you love this word like I do, and you see what I see, that's great. You don't have to see what I see. But if you want to fuss about it, do me a favor. Go someplace else. Just go someplace else. Because, hey, Brother Branham categorically said, if you don't like the man, the pastor, the guy that's over you, go someplace else. I'm not trying to get rid of anybody. I'm just trying to make it a home atmosphere where you understand I'm with you and you're with me. That's all. And I will help you and do what I can. And if I haven't helped you tonight to show you truth, how many's got guts? Let me see if you've got... I hate to do this, but I love to do it because I'm the kind of guy that I'm not afraid of Pentecost anymore. I'm not afraid to be counted. I'm not afraid to know if I don't know. Do you believe you've learned something tonight that did you good, that helped you more on the solid rock than other than you've known before? Raise your hand. Let me see if you... Well, some of you, I don't suppose. I don't know. Well, thank you very much. That's all I need to know. So if you're coming along this path, and you're with this understanding, and it's simple as ABC, it gets simpler and clearer every day, as far as I'm concerned, like the prophet said it would. That's all I request of you, because I've never asked for financial help from anybody. I've requested only one thing from you, and that is to pray and to stand with me as best you can. Not to anticipate anything as though you need to anticipate for me, but to simply stand with where we're going, because this is the crux of my ministry that I'm talking about. It goes out over the phone lines, and I could have many more phone lines if we wanted them. How many, I don't know, but there'd be several more. Because people ask me. And people want it, but they just don't have it, but we could help them. Then these tapes go many places in the world. And the glowing letters they write and the telephone calls that they give me. I would just say one thing. If anybody in this church, and I speak to every single person, that you had sisters phone you with such humility as though I was, Lee Bay was a mighty nice guy and a wonderful, wonderful guy. Oh God, this is pitiful, but it's the truth. It's just almost like an admiration, an adulation. What would you do if you got phone calls like that? I want to ask you, what would you do? I got an idea. Not you sitting here, but some that did sit here. You'd be so puffed up, you'd bust before daybreak, like the frog that was full of buckshot. I don't look for men to adore me, aggrandize me. I don't look for anything except one thing. Just keep off my back. That's all. Don't fuss if I preach. If you don't believe it, go to someplace else. That's all. I'm here for one reason. I believe you're wheat. I believe I'm wheat. I'm not going to go back on what the prophet told me just because somebody wants me to and say, well, did there somebody hear it? Or do we really know it? Hey, listen, you know something? This Bible opened before me, knowing there's a God in heaven, I tell the truth. That is just the same as swearing by God, whether you know it or not. And swearing by that word. It's identical, but I'm allowed to say it. See, there's a certain way to say everything. And you better say what God said, the way he meant it, the way it's vindicated by that prophet. And everything I taught you tonight zeroes in as it was there. It's back to the end. We're back to the beginning. As it came complete Ephesus, it's come again. Where are we tonight, brother, sister? We're in the midst of the most glorious age of God glorifying himself and his people. Let us truly be humble. Let us thank God for his goodness and mercy that we're allowed a part of this. Let's rise to be dismissed. Father, now we bow our heads and our hearts before you, knowing that we are not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of what the prophet brought us. I don't exult in it as though I found out something on my own and now I'm preaching something. Hey, Lee, they'll find something. Lord, you know that I know and the people know it. I'm exulting, Lord, because what the prophet said can be found right in this word here, and it is thrilling and marvelous because we believe in the revelation. Of course, if we didn't believe in the revelation and didn't believe that he was vindicated, that you are here, Lord, hallelujah, why, we'd just say, forget it and walk on. But, oh God, we don't have to look at the sky in the morning or night. We've seen the creator of the skies of the morning and night. We don't have to look for interpretation. We've already seen the great revealer.
We've seen you, Lord, in your word, and we know that this is something far beyond us. We stand amazed in the presence of God. Lord, what we don't know, we are not asking you that we do know. We're not asking you for mysteries and revelations, Lord, beyond what we can contain. There are some things, Lord, we'd like to know, but yet we are not going to come to you in prayer and look to you, Lord, and say, you got to show us, because we don't have to show us anything, Lord. It's no way, shape, and form, just as Jesus said to Peter, flesh and blood has not shown it. And you didn't even ask God about it. God just turned around and showed you. Yeah. And that's how we're looking, Lord, for all these things. And by your grace, thank you, Lord, you are showing us. I appreciate that, Lord, so much that that you just speak to our hearts and show us that you are showing these things and all. And we're not here, Lord, to hurt anybody, do anybody any harm whatsoever. We're just here for one thing, Lord, to preach your word. And may it be exactly as the prophet gave it and meant it. May it water our souls, O God, and bring us into the depth of the knowledge of this gospel, which blinds the eyes of others but opens ours. All the veils and curtains and blinders taken from off of our eyes. And we see this glory revealed in the Word. And we see the glory revealed in us, which you came to reveal your glory in us, taking us right to the tree of life and past the tree of life. Amen. Amen. Adam was only anxious to get to the tree of life, but Lord, you're taking us past the tree of life. And we thank you for it. It has begun. Help us to realize that. Let this be our strength as it was with Joshua and the people going in. Let us be the Calebs around the Joshua, even the Holy Spirit, who know no word but just the earnest, heartfelt answer. Be it unto me according to thy word. Lord, that would be, I believe, what you want us to hear. And I know that's what we want to say. And I know that's what we want to believe. And I know that's what we got to believe. And I know there's a virgin who will believe it. So as Brother Branham said, if we're not bride, but we believe we are bride, there's got to be a bride out there somewhere. And by your grace, we'll not stand in the way, but we say this, by your grace, Lord, we're going on where others missed it way back there when they had the chance, the opportunity. We're going to go in. Now, Father, we pray you'll heal the sick amongst us. Give us all strength, Lord, to stand with your word. Help us, Father, to not play around and not just be happy to preach it, to say it, to declare it, but to live it also. Knowing that this in itself is a great value because it does answer a great need. So our lives are balanced and conforming. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen and amen. Take the name of Jesus.